Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. Open them up to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Down through the ages, there have been people that have argued against and been skeptical of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. But when you get it down to the bottom line, the final analysis, each one of those skeptics has to face the fact of the empty tomb. They have to face the fact of the eyewitnesses that saw Christ after he rose from the grave. He was with the apostles for 40 days, and Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 there were 500 people together at one time that saw him in his resurrected body. Last week, we ended Luke chapter 23 with the women that came with Jesus from Galilee. They had followed Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus to the tomb. They saw the grave. They saw the tomb. They saw those two men lay his body in the tomb. And then the Bible says in that verse 56 of chapter 23 that they went back home and they prepared spices and ointments to anoint Jesus' body with. Now, in the book of John, it tells us in chapter 19, verse 40, in fact, let me just read the verse. It tells us that Joseph and Nicodemus put spices in the burial clothes with Jesus. It says, "Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloth with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury." And so I don't know if the women didn't see the men doing that, or if they saw the men do it and didn't think they did it correctly and say they were going to come back and fix it. I don't know which one of those two it was. But they went home and got spices and ointments ready to come back, and they rested the next day because it was the Sabbath day. And then as we start in chapter 24 tonight, they were coming back to the tomb with their spices and ointments. And it says there in verse 1, "Now upon the first day of the week, Sunday, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them." Now, down in verse 10, it mentions three of the women that were there. Mary Magdalene was one, Joanna was one, and Mary, the mother of James, was one. And there were others with them. We're not exactly sure of how many. In the book of Mark, as it records this event, the women, as they came to the cemetery, talked among themselves, and they wondered how they were going to move the stone that covered the hole of the cave in which Jesus was buried. Remember, it was a big stone. It was in a groove, and you sort of rolled it downhill to cover the opening of the cave, and to open the tomb, you had to roll it uphill. And again, even all the women together probably couldn't do that, and so that's why they were discussing how they were going to get into the tomb. But it says here in verse 2, "And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher." Now, these women weren't shy. They weren't afraid, because in verse 3 it says, "And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus." They just went in. I often wonder, did they question who moved the stone? Did they question, who was there before them that moved the stone out of the way so that they could get in? But the Bible doesn't record if they did question it. It just records that they went in. Now, you remember later, Peter's going to come to the tomb, and he's not going to go in. He's just going to stand outside until John gets there. But these women didn't hesitate. They went in. They were expecting to find Christ's body. They had brought their spices and their ointments. They were going to add to what Joseph and Nicodemus had done. They were going to add spices to Jesus' body. They didn't embalm back in that time, and so they packed spices wrapped spices in the grave cloths with the person that died. And so that's what they were expecting to do when they walked into the tomb. But that verse says, "They found not the body of the Lord Jesus." Now, again, in Luke's account, he doesn't mention anything about the soldiers that were supposed to be there. You remember the religious leaders had gone to Pilate and had said, hey, we're afraid some of his followers are going to come to the tomb, they're going to steal his body, and then they're going to proclaim that he's resurrected from the dead. So we need you to post guards around the tomb. They wanted Roman soldiers. And Pilate said, as recorded in Matthew, ye have a watch. He said, you guys got your own soldiers. He said, go your way. Get out of here. You got your own soldiers. Make it as sure as you can. He said, you just go out and you guard it as best you can. I just wonder if old Pilate had an inkling that they weren't going to be able to make it very sure, because they didn't last long. The Bible says that when the angel came from heaven to roll the stone away from the tomb, that the keepers did shake and became as dead men. In other words, they became so afraid that they passed out. By the time these women got there, these soldiers had probably vamoosed. I mean, they didn't want to see anything else. They probably left their post and nobody was there. So the ladies came into the tomb, again, expecting to find a body. There was no body to be found. In verse 4 it says, and it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Now, you're going to notice about these women, and you're going to notice about the apostles, when the women went back to tell the apostles, they had no idea or no thought at all that Jesus was going to be resurrected. Now, he had told them straight out. He had told them very plainly. But they were all surprised. These ladies were perplexed. I'm sure they began, where's the body? Who moved the body? Who would dare come into the tomb and steal the body of Christ? They had no thought at all of maybe he did come back from the dead. Maybe he was resurrected. They just thought, they were perplexed. They did not know what had happened. And as they stood there asking those questions among themselves, what could have happened to our master's body? Two men stood there in shining garments, angels, that according to Matthew had descended from heaven, and one of them had rolled back the stone. And again, they didn't roll back the stone so Jesus could get out. I mean, he was going to walk through walls when they were in the upper room. He could walk through stone just as easy as he could walk through walls. So they did not move the stone so that Jesus could get out. They moved the stone so that man could see inside that he was gone. And so they rolled back the stone. And again, we don't know the exact time of the resurrection. It was after sunset on Saturday, before dawn on Sunday. And so in verse 5, so they saw these two men in shining garments, and as they were afraid. Now, just about every time you read in the Bible where an angel appears to man, they're afraid. Now, I don't know about you, but I probably would be too. And if you don't think you'd be afraid, you're probably not thinking very clearly. Most of us, if not all of us, would be afraid. And again, that's why most angels, when they approached man, they made appearance to man, the first thing they said was, fear not, don't be afraid. And so these ladies were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth. In other words, they got on their knees, they put their faces down in the dirt because they were afraid. And then the angel said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Verse 6, he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. They said, look, you're in a cemetery. Live people, living people, don't reside in cemeteries. Why are you looking for Jesus here? He's not dead. He's alive. You don't look for live people in the cemetery. I mean, there's dead people here. Why are you looking in the cemetery for Jesus? Don't you remember what he said to you when you guys were still in Galilee? Now, what they were referring back to, let me just tell you about that. Jesus had just encountered the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler had asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, what does the commandment say? And he quoted some of the commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. So, five of the last six. And the rich young ruler said, I've kept all these from my youth. Jesus says, you lack one thing. Go sell everything you have. Give it to the poor and come follow me. You see, the rich young ruler had said, hey, I've lived by all the commandments that deal with man's relationship with man. But Jesus wanted him to look at the first four that dealt with man's relationship with God. And there was something in that young man's life, his money, that was more important to him than God was. Because when Jesus told him, go sell everything you got and follow me, the Bible says he went away sorrowful because he was rich. And Jesus, after he left, said to his disciples, it's hard for a rich man to be saved. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to be saved. And his disciples says, well, then who can be saved? And Jesus said, well, with man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And Peter said, well, what about us? And Jesus says, hey, if you've forsaken things on earth, you're going to be rewarded. Then he said this. He said this. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem. And all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. And the angel said, you remember that? You remember when Jesus told you that? And then in that next verse, verse 8, and they remembered his words. And verse 9, and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. I can just picture this in my mind. Those ladies, I'm sure they were dignified most of the time they traveled, but I think as they went back to Jerusalem, they lost their dignity. They picked up their robes and they began to run. They had good news to share. They couldn't wait to get back to the apostles and the others that were gathered. They went into that room wherever they were gathered and they said, huh, you won't believe it. You won't believe it. We were at the tomb. We went there to anoint the body. The body was gone. Angels appeared to us and they told us that Jesus was alive. Now, you would think the apostles and those that were gathered there that, you know, follow Christ would clap their hands and they would rejoice. But the Bible says in verse 11, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. I mean, these were the 11 other disciples. These were people that had followed Jesus from Galilee and been part of his public ministry, some of them for almost 3 years. That word idle tales is a medical term. And remember, Luke was a medical doctor. Those words, idle tales, means the ravings of one that is delirious or hysterical. So that's how a doctor described somebody that was out of their mind talking about something that didn't make any sense. And so when the ladies went back to the room where the apostles and the others were gathered and said, Jesus is alive, they basically said, you guys are lunatics. You're crazy. And they did not believe them. And these were the apostles who Jesus had told straight out, they're going to put me to death, but on the third day, I'm going to rise again. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulcher. Now, in the book of John, it says both Peter and John went, okay? But Peter outran John, got there first, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. So Peter had heard the account from the ladies. He'd gone to the tomb. He saw the grave clothes there, and he still didn't believe it. He left the tomb wondering what had happened. Now, the Bible tells us in the book of John that when John got there, again, Peter was stooped down looking in, John went in. And when John went in and saw the grave clothes laid there, the Bible says that he believed. He believed that Jesus was resurrected. He believed that he was alive. And Peter, it doesn't seem that he actually believed it until Jesus appeared to him later on in the day and showed him his resurrected body. Now, again, the resurrection, the account of the resurrection is in all four Gospels. It's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But I want you to think about it. Luke was a medical doctor. If there was going to be anybody that, based on their background, doubted the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, it would have been Dr. Luke. I mean, all his medical training, all the things that he had learned to be a doctor, told him that coming back from the dead was not possible. And yet, having researched the life of Christ, you remember, he starts out the book of Luke talking to this young man named Theophilus. He says, I've researched all this. I've studied all this. I've talked to the witnesses of everything that happened in the life of Christ, and I'm putting it down for your benefit. Here's a medical doctor whose training said this is impossible. It's impossible for a dead person to come back to life. Here is a medical doctor, and by the way, a good historian. Even though he was a doctor, most Bible scholars say that Luke was one of the most profound historians as he researched and chronicled the life of Christ. So here's a medical doctor, here's a top-notch historian proclaiming for everybody to know that Jesus is not dead, he's alive. As we sing tonight, we serve a living Savior. And so, and that's where we're going to quit tonight. But here's a man who was not ashamed to say, hey, I don't have a dead God. I don't have a dead Savior. I serve a Savior who lives. And we serve a Savior who lives. He's not in the tomb. He was in the tomb. He was killed. He lay in that grave for 3 days and three nights. But up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. And I'm glad we have that kind of Savior. Thank you for being here tonight. We'll stand and have a word of prayer, be dismissed. Men will be praying over here on this side. Ladies will be praying over here on this side. If you'd like to join them, please do that. But thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for being so faithful on Wednesday night. A lot of churches don't have prayer meeting, church on Wednesday night, and I'm so glad that we have folks that love the Lord and come to serve Him and worship Him on a Wednesday night.